Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates, which is located right here in the Santa Cruz area where I live. And Michael, of course, is going to be talking to you about the idea of sustainable development, Agenda 21, which is the agenda for the 21st century. Now, people say, well, what do you mean agenda for the 21st century? Well, there are a group of people, very wealthy and very powerful people, who have an agenda, and it is being carried out not only in Santa Cruz, not only in California, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. It is an agenda for the 21st century to transform the world. And, of course, to use the threat to the environment as a vehicle for expanding government control over every aspect of your life. Now, people say, well, nothing could be that extensive. And I would say, why couldn't it be? If there are people out there who control the media, if they have a dedication to a different idea, if they're energized by spiritual forces, if they are united throughout the world because, of course, they want to change the structure of society, give ever more power to bureaucrats, to government, plunges from war to war, really for no earthly purpose other than to distract us from the fact that they're taking away our freedom. Why couldn't this happen? Well, with that as a background, let's get to Michael, who's really doing a tremendous job of putting together information and educating people on the program of sustainable development. Good evening, Michael. How are you tonight?
Fine, Dr. Stan. We've got one of our warmest summer nights on the Central Coast, and I think good things are, you know, maybe beginning to bubble up around the nation.
Well, why? Tell us about it.
Well, I think that the issues of such as biometrics and the Real ID Act are coming to the attention of a lot of people, and I think that we're being successful in causing them to understand that that's part of a broader picture. And of course, the Real ID is really, putting a mark on each of us that identifies us as to who we are, and ultimately will be intended to allow only those with that mark to make any purchases. So the biometrics that are being established to support the Real ID concept are very scary indeed, where they can identify who you are with a full list of your attributes by scanning your eyes as you walk down the street. So the technology that is being developed for the masters of the New World Order, the princes of sustainable development, are coming into place, and legislators are considering adopting the kinds of rules that give them all the information and control they need to treat each of us as a biological resource, and we either do what we're told or see, they're looking to reduce human population under sustainable development principles by up to 85%.
And I think it's really so interesting. Anybody who looks around, they'll notice the cameras every place. Why are the cameras there? Oh, it's for crime. No, it's so they can monitor you, and they're keeping records of where you are. Do you realize, for instance, that they can track your cell phone, whether it's on or off? They know exactly where you are. They can even, in certain circumstances, listen to your conversations through your cell phone, even if it's turned off. Certainly, they are keeping dossiers on all sorts of American citizens. Most American citizens, whenever you buy anything with a credit card, buy anything, in any of the major chain stores, and you use a check, there's a record of that. All of these records are being kept. because, of course, they want to know everything about you. That's how they're going to control you. We'll be right back here. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let's just give a general definition for people who have not heard about sustainable development in the past. Of course, most of your listeners have. But in general, what is sustainable development? Well, at its core, sustainable development is the essential political economics of the globalist movement. It is designed to abolish private property. I'll say that again. It is designed to abolish private property. That's why it's got 1,000 points of darkness that are attacking our rural landowners in America. Ranchers and farmers are feeling enormous pressures from governments under environmental regulations and other perspectives that it is just beginning to move the people off the rural lands of America. And you can see this in just so many ways. But as they move further in the rural areas, the attack on suburbanites is just going to increase mightily. And I'm going to talk more about that tonight as I talk about smart growth in the state of California. You see, the property element of sustainable development has really two key elements. The first is the so-called Wildlands Project. The Wildlands Project is designed to take over 50% of the United States landmass and move all people off. It will prohibit any extraction of any resource on that wildland, which is, again, 50% of the American landmass. So you can begin to understand how the final element of sustainable development, which is population reduction, gets to be managed. They create the crisis in order to cause, they create the shortage in order to create crisis. So by creating water shortages, ultimately food shortages, it's a lot easier to get their population levels down to where the globalists, the sustainable developers, want it to be. So the Wildlands Project is the first element of the land use element of sustainable development. And the second is what's called smart growth. If you look at the globalist maps of the United States, you'll see these little black dots spotted mostly on the coast. And these are the smart growth habitations. Smart growth is where all the people are going to be stacked. We're going to find ourselves riding trains and using public transportation as we live on the 23rd floor of some smart growth environment. The children will be taken care of by government daycare providers. That may sound far-fetched, but smart growth...
Hold that thought, Michael. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael was simply saying that the ultimate plan is to eliminate about 86% of the world's population, and there's no question this is what they really want. You can go to Sydney, Upperton, Georgia, see the plan there on the occult, satanic monument there in Elberton, Georgia, the Georgia Guidestones, the American Stonehenge. You've probably never heard of it because you're not supposed to, but it's there. I've been there, and the people in Elberton know what is there. They're scared to death of it. They know it's a satanic center, but of course, churches don't talk about that sort of thing, and a lot of them don't even believe in Satan. But basically, of course, Michael is pointing out what they want to do is get you out of your home. They want to get you into, a multi-level stack 'em and pack 'em unit, where they can monitor you. Get people out of their private homes. And, of course, those people who are allowed to live will live in these sustainable communities. So pick up the story there, Michael.
Well, the land use program is to move people out of the rural areas and put them in these very densely packed smart growth urban centers. If you can imagine a landscape where the people are fenced in and the animals roam freely, then you get a picture of what smart growth is all about.
That's why it's illegal to kill a mountain lion or to kill a wolf or even kill a grizzly bear that's in the domestic areas, because, of course, the animals would have first precedent over the people, and people say that's crazy talk. Well, we're not dealing with rational people. When you understand that, it makes sense.
Well, but it's more than just the irrational people that have masterminded this plan. you know, these are a few people indeed. You know, it is the global elite that are the masterminds behind sustainable development. But as Hitler in the 1930s availed himself, there were lots of useful idiots. The fifth column in America for sustainable development action is huge. Many young people coming out of college have no idea of political economics other than sustainable development, and they go to work for NGOs, that's non-governmental organizations, which are, by the way, accredited by the UN for purposes of implementing sustainable development policy. So these young people who come in and facilitate your neighborhood or your community, and it is happening in every community in America, are there to push the dogma of sustainable development without understanding its implications. And let's be clear about this. What has separated America as a nation from all nations in the history of the world is the fact that we recognize the nature of unalienable rights that exist within each of us. These are rights that are imbued within us by our Creator for purposes of living a life as a human being. Now, unalienable rights exist whether government recognizes them or not.
Well, of course, our government initially did recognize them, but when the evil people took control, why, of course, they've tried to convince us that we don't have those rights. Everything has to be for the betterment of the people and the masses, you know, whatever is going to make for a better society, a more sustainable society. We've just got to give up those rights. And after all, that was 200 years ago we had inalienable rights, but that is the very essence of what freedom is about. Go ahead.
Well, I remember, you're making that point. I remember being on a radio show in Wisconsin here a couple of years ago, and a caller called in, and she was a school administrator there in central Wisconsin, and she said, I was simply out of step, that George Washington was a dead, 200-year dead white man, and it's not his concepts are not relevant today. And all I had to do was remind her of unalienable rights and ask her, does she really want the next generation to not understand that as human beings, they are born with the right to life, and with the right to liberty, and the right to property? And, you know, she had nothing to say, and she basically left the conversation in a state of dismay, because she knows that then she had exposed herself as an agent for philosophy that is deeply un-American. And that's really the second element of sustainable development, is a global educational program for the youth in order to bring them into the global system that sustainable developers expect to exist by the time today's youth become adults. And so today's youth are not being educated about the nature of unalienable rights. In fact, they're being taught the principles of sustainable development. You know, one prime example of that might be what sustainable developers call the precautionary principle. And the precautionary principle holds that you can take no action unless you can be assured that that action will not cause harm. You say, well, harm? Harm to what? The answer is, of course, harm to the environment. So in Santa Cruz, for instance, some years ago, The federal officials came to town and worked with the local and state officials to create a habitat conservation plan. The purpose of that habitat conservation plan was to protect 140 species of plants and animals. Well, one of those animals was a long-toed salamander, supposedly endangered, although it's being found around the county all over the place. This habitat conservation plan was going to require that any landowner who wanted any permit from the county would have to sign an agreement promising that they would not walk on their property during the winter months in fear, this is applying the precautionary principle, in fear that they might step on a long-toed salamander during its mating season. Now, the precautionary principle teaches that you are presumed guilty, and you have to prove your innocence. The nature of liberty as an unalienable right is just eliminated under the principles of the precautionary principle. The precautionary principle is a precept of sustainable development. It is being taught to all young people in the Los Angeles County School District as the principle of American governance. Our educational system has been co-opted.
And, you know, I really think it's so interesting, Michael, that when they passed the Endangered Species Act, they were talking about trying to protect the American bald eagle, the symbol of America. You know, and from there, the bureaucrats simply expanded into all of these other things. And what the legislators who voted in Congress for endangered species didn't understand how this was going to be applied, and nobody's had the courage to stand up against the environmentalists and say, hey, this isn't what we voted for at all. And but, of course, this is really all a means of bringing the property under the control of the bureaucracy. This is a move towards the fascist society that the average individual doesn't understand. And because nobody's out there telling them, and so they say, well, my goodness, this is the law. It is not the law. It has been created by a bunch of bureaucrats who are subservient to the fascist element, who would regulate every aspect of our society in the name of protecting ferns, in the name of protecting long-toed salamanders or short-toed frogs or whatever you want to call them. And, of course, it's all a scam. But it doesn't matter how ridiculous it is. If enough people say it often enough, people eventually come to accept what's going on without realizing this is a planned fascist program for the destruction of freedom and taking away the right of private property. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think that's exactly right. So sustainable development is the abolition of private property. It is the retraining, the educational process, especially focused on the young people, of bringing them into the global citizenship mindset. You know, you can go to high schools here in Santa Cruz County. You know, they're not going to ever talk about unalienable rights, but you do have model UN clubs, and you do have teachers who openly profess that they are there to help establish a global citizenship mindset within the youth. And Santa Cruz is not unusual. You know, it used to be people would laugh at Santa Cruz, but the reality is that Santa Cruz was just a trial ground for what is now happening in every country across the United States. So if you want to understand where your government is going, your local government is going, you got to take a look at Santa Cruz, and we invite you to come to freedomadvocates.org. There'll be a lot of Santa Cruz stories, but more stories about places elsewhere, and certainly a coherent analysis of the overall program that is called sustainable development, with hundreds of examples of how it's cropped up here, there, and everywhere, from England and Australia and Canada to, you know, every state in the United States. It is a global movement masterminded by the people that we don't want to be subjected to. But Americans have thus far largely been too busy with other things to take focus on the core of what is causing our society to fall apart. Our money is phony. It's being exercised for the purpose of the globalist bankers who are really the driving force behind sustainable development. The day will come when fiat money like ours simply implodes. That can come either by its own force or by the force of those who control the money. When America wants to be knocked down by the globalist interests that are operating our money system, it will simply be knocked down. We will not have currency to conduct our exchange. When that happens, everybody will know that there's been a dirty snake in our government halls that has led us to this condition that our forefathers warned us against putting ourselves in.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people actually begin to check this out and find out if there really is a plan. Of course, there's so much written. You go to, of course, Michael's website, and you'll get all sorts of information on sustainable development. You can go up on the Internet and get it. You can pull down the Earth Charter, which, of course, was written by Gorbachev as one of the one of the organizers of this whole idea of sustainable development, and Gorbachev and Marie Strong, and of course Stephen Rockefeller, my understanding, he's gone to his just awards, but of course he's one of the Rockefeller gang, that these people of great wealth who would enslave all mankind under the ruling elite, the superior people who know what's best for us, but you have to get the people to think that they're doing it for them. They're so concerned about us. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let me just briefly say the third tenet, talk about the third tenet of sustainable development. That's called population control. That's the fascist part, and population reduction. The Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, which came out with Agenda 21 back in the 1992 Rio de Janeiro UN conference called the Earth Summit, stated in its 1,300-page document that the world population, if there is to be industry left, is to be reduced to 1 billion people. Today's population is 7 billion people. Now, they don't intend to leave America stand free and stand alone. The idea of sustainable development is equal distribution, not just within nations, but amongst nations. So the 1 billion people will all, in effect, be working as serfs or slaves, serving the human masters that are the masterminds behind sustainable development. That includes multinational corporate leaders, monarchies, and, of course, banking family interests like Rockefeller or Rothschild. So we've got the abolition of private property, we've got re-education for global citizenship, and we've got population reduction. In a nutshell, that's what sustainable development is. But there's some things that are happening that are noteworthy just this week. California legislature is getting ready to pass a so-called anti-sprawl legislation that is to focus on where homes are built, and to force shorter commutes on the people living in California. This legislation has been dubbed by its supporters as smart growth legislation. Again, we defined smart growth earlier as being where people are stacked and packed in dense urban areas, subject to mass transit, and they really don't get outside their little urban core. So if you think your neighbors are too close to you now, just imagine what it will be like when everybody is placed into these little smart growth zones. For people in Santa Cruz, we can see that beginning to happen with increasing thrust. You know, recently 20 acres on the west side of Santa Cruz was dedicated for the construction of thousands of condominium units, most of which will, I predict, end up without garages, just like the smart growth development in cities like Chicago. They tear down their projects from the 50s, build smart growth communities, and leave the residents without a place to put a car. That's because they're not expected to have a car.
And I think that's really so difficult for the average individual to say, that anybody would be planning on taking the cars away from the American people. But they really want to get us out of cars. You read the Agenda 21, they tell you the ultimate goal is to get people out of cars. Oh, my goodness, they're polluting. Well, here in Santa Cruz, we don't have a pollution problem. We got the cleanest air in the whole country. So they have to come up with another excuse. But it's really all about control. It's not about pollution at all. It's about control. People with cars have a certain element of freedom. People, of course, who do not have cars can be watched and monitored so much more readily. And that's what it's really about, isn't it, Michael?
Well, it is. You know, we can look at the Real ID Act, which is, pushing its way into the United States, and the biometric requirements that go along with the Real ID. That means having a link on every person, a way to identify them by a machine. You know, when you walk down the street, a machine...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest this evening is Michael Shaw. And we're talking about sustainable development. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly Michael is one of the most informed people in the country on this subject. his organization, Freedom Advocates, will provide you with all sorts of information on this subject. And incidentally, we hope you're going to be coming to the meeting we're going to be having, the all-day meeting here in the Monterey Bay area on the 26th of October. That's a Sunday. We have it on Sunday because we seem to get so much better turnout, almost 150 people last year. And I can tell you, never before have we had so many people signing up in advance for the program. We're going to have Dr. Blaylock. We're going to have Joanna Michelson, who is a medium, coming and talking about her experiences in the supernatural. Patrick Wood will be here talking about the finances. And Michael Shaw will be talking about sustainable development. A very important meeting. We hope you'll come. We have to know how many people are coming because we're serving lunch. It's all day long. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Come bring your friends. Maybe we can begin to convince them. So what we're talking about is the destruction of the American way of life. And what is happening is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. And they create the problem on one hand. For instance, they won't allow the forest to be cleared of brush. And then, of course, why we have these massive fires. We had 2,000 fires burning at one time here just about six weeks ago here in California. 2,000 fires. I mean, hundreds of thousands of acres of land just burned off. But that's what they want. You have to understand that, in fact, Michael had actually heard one of the government officials come in, federal officials, saying, you know, we talk about forest fires, and some people say, let them burn, but I say, make them burn. That's why they don't try to stop the fires. And, of course, what they do is they burn the houses out back in the woods. And that way they're going to be able to force the people into sustainable communities. And people have no idea that anybody would actually want to encourage burning of our wilderness and destruction of trees and destruction of the wildlife. But there are people there who have an entirely different worldview because, in my estimation, they worship a different God. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the smart growth legislation now. Having passed the state legislature, and I think it's ready to go up for signature by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, the effort to pass this has been going on for 5 years, and this year it has passed. And the new leader of the Senate, a fellow named Daryl Steinberg, a Democrat from Sacramento, wrote the bill. And what he says is he wants cities and counties to develop new housing close to rail lines, bus stops, and bike lanes.
And that's so we can get the people out of the cars. That's what it's really about, isn't it?
That's exactly what it's about. And I'm quoting this from Mr. Paul Rogers, a writer for Media News, which is the San Jose Mercury. Media News also owns the Santa Cruz Sentinel and the Monterey Herald. But this is the kind of support that comes from Media News, a globalist organization, for sustainable development programs, and they're fully behind this concept of forcing everyone through state legislation to build into inner-city codes, build up, not build out, bring everybody in to these smart growth communities so that we can be elbow to elbow, and won't life be wonderful?
And people say, well, why would anybody want to do that? Well, you know, you see Al Gore, he's got a big palatial place, John Edwards, you know, who recently ran for the vice president, sort of been very embarrassed because it turned out he had a mistress who has an illegitimate child. But of course, these people have palatial estate. They're the elite. They're the chosen. With the rest of us, of course, to be crammed into little areas where we can be watched and monitored. So you're really moving towards an elite society and then a place for us common folks. So go right ahead.
Well, you know, again, quoting from that newspaper article, which was in Sunday's Santa Cruz Sentinel, a reprint of Paul Rogers' San Jose Mercury article, you know, he says that builders and environmentalists have found, quote, common ground. That's a term often used in sustainable development lingo. They have found common ground on a compromise. They will hope limit global warming by changing where homes are built. Well, you know, it takes, when you start building off lies, you start building a whole lot of things. And, you know, part of the good news is that the global warming scam is beginning to fray at the edges, which means the sustainable developers are going to have to move harder and faster in bringing their wildlands project and smart growth program into fruition.
And that's before we start to get global cooling. In fact, there's very much to suggest we're maybe entering a temporary period of global cooling. And that's what Al Gore do. He'll find some other means of making a lot of money. He's making a lot of money on this scam. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now we have Donna calling us from Michigan with a question for our guest, Michael Shaw. Donna, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I've recently heard about what's called potential communities, and I understand that there's quite a lot of information on the Internet about these ICs, as they're called.
No, Donna?
ICs, intentional communities.
I see, okay.
And my question is, are these intentional communities a part of this fascist plan, or are they an alternative to it?
I don't know what community she's talking about. Do you, Michael?
I didn't catch the descriptive term.
One more time? We have a poor connection. What is the term used for these communities?
Intentional communities.
What's that?
Intentional communities.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have my producer call you back again.
Well,
I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll have him.
Intentional communities. Is that the right term you use? Intentional communities?
Correct.
Is that what you asked?
Yes. Have you ever heard of an intentional community? I haven't.
Oh, that's a new term. I mean, they're always coming up with new terms. Michigan's a long ways from where I am. That's not a term I have heard. I suspect, I mean, Michigan is a hotbed of activity for sustainable development activists. And one thing that they do regularly is they will change their terminology when they've worn out some old ones, you know, and if sustainable
uh-huh.
communities is getting a bloody nose, you know, they'll come up with something new. And but that's all I could offer in response to that question, because I've not encountered it. If she wants to go to the Freedom Advocates website and send us information, communicate with us about these intentional communities, which are apparently, you know, popping up in Michigan, we can look at it and get back to her and let her know if that's just a substitute term for the term we usually see, which is sustainable communities.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the media is in favor of it and the local bureaucracy is in favor of it, you know
Watch
it's
out.
Bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Donna, thank you very much for listening. And and if you go to freedomadvocates.org, that's freedomadvocates.org, and you'll get some amazing information there. Okay?
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, we're going to have to go. We've got Jeannie on the line. We've got other lines filling up here. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 4-4-8-9-2-7. And when we get back, certainly I want Michael to go ahead and tell us how to get in touch with his organization. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Jeannie. Just hang on there. Right now, of course, we have Jeannie on the line, and we've got Mike on the line as well. But Michael, would you go ahead and tell us, our listeners, how they can get to your website, how they can get your information?
Our website is simple. It's freedomadvocates.org. You can reach us by phone at 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232. And while our website is under constant construction or reconstruction, what you'll find there is a lot of tools that you can use in your neighborhood to bring the nature of sustainable development to the attention of your friends and your family and your neighbors and even, you know, the politicians who may be falling like useful idiots for these globalist programs. But we've got plenty of radio, audio, we've got video, we've got pamphlets that are just really helping a lot of communities get the basics on what sustainable development is. Where they have spread far and wide, they you find that there are pockets in this country where the population has a pretty good idea of sustainable development, and the pressure is mounting on the government officials to stop. I can't report that it's stopped anywhere yet, but when you get the basic information, and our pamphlets do that job, when you get the basic information, it starts to put some real heat on them. And I expect that over some necessary time frame, you know, it's going to turn the tide in an increasing number of communities.
Well, let's go to Jeannie calling from Aptos. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
Good evening. I'm fine, Dr. Stan. I might mention that if you Google intentional communities, it will come up with a lot of links on the website. And they are, the communities are intentionally to be built for control, and they are called sustainable communities.
Okay.
I wanted to mention there's legislation coming up in the United Kingdom, and they want to propose that every citizen will carry a carbon card, and it's going to be under penalty of law. It'll be criminal if you do not carry this card. And it's like a debit card. When you buy gasoline, then they will take it from the total carbon that you're allotted or rationed each year. Or if you take an airplane trip, or how much electricity you use, every trip you use with your car, but it's like a rationing carbon card.
Isn't that an amazing idea? What a great idea. And of course, you understand, of course, that people like Al Gore and Edwards and the others are not going to have to do that. They will be given special consideration because they are their lead. The carbon cards would only be for the common folks.
Yeah, and the carbon card also, it will look at what you buy in the store for food. So if you buy meat, well, that's going to deduct a lot of carbon because of the animals and their eating and so forth. And so that's why they're looking at what you're buying in the stores now. And this will connect on to the carbon card.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great social control. And this is what they're looking for in the future.
In fact, it's really so interesting. Of course, recently there's been a talk of some shortage of rice. And so at places like Costco, you want to go and buy rice. But, of course, they keep track of everything you buy at Costco. You have your card. They know whether you're buying excess rice. They won't let you buy excess rice. You can buy as much as you did before, but you can't start stocking up on it. Why? Because they're watching everything you do. In fact, everything you buy is available to the government on their massive computers, but we can't let the public know that. Anything else, Jeannie, before we let you go?
No, I wanted to thank Michael. It's a great show. And we talk about control of water. If you control the water, you control the food. And there was a great quote by Catherine Bertini, and she was the head of the United Nations Food Program about 3 years ago. And she says, food is power. I'm going to paraphrase it, but food is power. And we control the people by food, and we can change their behavior.
And I think it's really so interesting along with that, Jeannie, is the fact that Mountain House, which is one of the largest producers of freeze-dried food, has recently announced that you can no longer buy from them directly any freeze-dried canned food. You won't be able to buy it until the year 2010. Why? Because the military is buying it all up and storing it away. Why are they military buying up all the freeze-dried food? Well, they're looking after their people. And the question is, if you're out there in the listening audience, what are you doing to look after yourself? Because believe me, the government's not interested in you. They want the military there to control you, the police to control you, but you're on your own, ladies and gentlemen. If you doubt that, we can give you the documentation. It's only happened within the last 10 days or so, but you're not hearing that. After all, we wouldn't want the people to panic. Anything else, Jeannie?
No, that's it. Thanks for your show.
God bless. Thanks very much. Let's go to Daniel calling from Watsonville. Daniel, do you have a question? Oh, I'm sorry. This is Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, go ahead.
Okay. That's me?
Yep, that's
okay.
You.
Okay. I wanted to call about the intentional communities for the lady's question. It's all over Google, and Wikipedia says examples of intentional communities are eco villages, communes, kibbutzes, ashrams, and housing cooperatives. What it looks like to me is a bunch of little cults, and the members of one of these communities are normally would be selecting prospective members who would come in to live. They seem like they're trying to operate democratically. That always sounds so nice, doesn't it? They would have their own egalitarian values. They stress simplicity and self-reliance. You're starting to get the picture. I think it's pretty insidious. There's no real personal freedom involved. You would have to live according to the dictums of the particular commune that you're living in. They would revolve around social issues or a political issue or an adopted spiritual vision.
Oh, do you have any thoughts on that, Michael, is hearing what Mike has said?
Well, you know, that certainly is an application of sustainable communities. It's to create a oneness that we all have to, comport to. If you don't go with the program, you're simply out of luck. You know, you don't get the limited freeze-dried food, when crisis hits. You are not part of the system unless you are playing in the system. And it just becomes a dangerous road for us all to go down. And yet that doesn't mean that people ought not be able to associate with those they want and live in a community they want of like-minded people. I mean, that's a different dynamic than I think what these intentional communities are designed to do. They are designed, from what our callers have informed us, they are designed to create a specific political economic ideology. And when you find something that's sweeping different geographic areas that is so loosely defined and yet so arbitrary in its demands, you know that it's just another expression of this fascist communist ideology that more broadly stated is sustainable communities. And I'd be very leery if it was coming into my neighborhood.
I would be too, and I think it's so important for people to understand there really are people who want a fascist society. They're people of great wealth. They believe that they are entitled to be with the rulers, and of course they work in concert through covert organizations and meetings. And certainly, so much of what this whole thing was planned on the Prince of Wales yacht back in 1991, 1992, in preparation for the Second Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro that was held in 1992, and out of which came the Global Biodiversity Report and the Kyoto Protocol and the Biodiversity Treaty and the Desertification Treaty. But these ideas on how to control us common folks. Well, let's go to anything else you want to say, Mike, before
we
go to
you? Well, what Jeannie was saying was very interesting about the carbon card.
Right.
And I couldn't help but wonder, when we die, we leave a pile of carbon. I wonder if they're going to be taking that into consideration.
Probably that will be deducted from your
Yeah, it just sounds like they're tracking our carbon footprint everywhere we go with everything we do, and they're going to regulate us accordingly.
And when are the American people going to stand up? When are they going to join us in this epic struggle? Because it's a struggle for freedom under God. It's a struggle for our God-given rights. But then the people on the other side hate God, at least the God that we worship. And, of course, they want total control. And they will destroy, of course, any remnant of traditional religion because they want not only a one-world government, they want a one-world religion.
Yeah.
Because they worship a different God. Thanks so much, Mike.
Okay.
Let's go to Daniel is calling from Watsonville. Once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, the 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Daniel. How you doing?
Very good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, a couple things I just recently stumbled upon. This H.R. 3981, it's called the America, Preserve America. It's a grant thing they give out to counties. Have you heard or Michael heard anything about this?
Well, there have been county grant programs going on for a long while, and all of these, mandated funding dynamics coming from Washington are sustainable development expressions.
Absolutely.
All designed to advance that cause.
Yeah, but this, like I said, this is a whole new program. They just passed this just several months ago. So.
Okay, I don't know about it.
Yeah, Preserve America. And then there's this thing I actually heard about. I saw it on local community television. It's called Smart Code.
Interesting.
Don't know it at all. Anything else?
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Like I said, I just wanted to bring up.
Where does Smart Code come from?
I think it's federal. It's got a big website and everything. Let's see. It's, like I say there, it's been, I think it's basically just been adopted and adopted it. Local calibration, it's sustainable development. It's just, like I say, another one of these programs that's popped up. And I,
they are all over, and, you know, the ones you refer to, sound as though they're just, you know, building the tower.
Yeah, it's the same thing, but it's just another way they're pushing it, so. Pretty much all I had.
Well, Daniel, the thing is, you've got to help us get the word out. Help certainly Michael and what he's doing. He certainly is certainly one of the major forces in America, all across America,
absolutely,
getting information on sustainable development. So people understand this is not some sort of a fringe thing.
Yeah.
This is one of the major driving forces for all of our planning, for so many of the laws that are being enacted. And in the name of, course, sustainability, they're telling us we're running out of air, we're running out of gasoline, we're running out of oil, we're running out of water.
Absolutely.
Okay, God bless. Let's go to Mark calling from Ohio. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan. I just tuned in, and maybe I've totally misunderstood things, but you said something about intentional community.
Yes, you want to just comment on that, Michael?
Well, a caller called and introduced that term. I wasn't familiar with it, and several callers have called in since then who have given us the official definition of what it is, and it does sound like it's just another application of the creation of smart growth or sustainable development communities.
And so basically go up on the Internet and Google in intentional community, and I think you'll find out that it's simply they changed the name but not the objective and the goal.
So this is basically another social reengineering plan of the government.
Right.
Okay, well, I can point you to an intentional community that's been in existence in Chicago for 35 years. It's called Jesus People USA. And that's what they call themselves, an intentional community, and it's communism.
Well, all of this is communism,
yeah.
But I think they've just taken this phrase and begun to popularize it recently. I've never heard it before.
Yeah.
Yes, all of this is communism. It is but remember, under communism, there is no equality. You have a ruling elite, and then, of course, you impose your will on everybody else. There is no communism in Russia today. You have a ruling elite, and that, of course, is what we have and moving rapidly towards here in America. But the one thing that stands in the way is our Constitution. That's why they hate it.
Yes.
They hate the Declaration of Independence, and that is why, of course, they're using our educational system to program our children to have a different worldview. And that's why, if you love your children, you'd certainly want to get them out of government schools.
Because freedom and liberty is about the individual. Communism is about the state.
Amen to that.
Could I just give a website that talks about that intentional community?
Go ahead.
It's exjpusahelp.com.
One more time.
exjpusahelp.com.
Okay, Michael, do you have any thoughts before we let Mark go?
No, but it's always nice to have listeners who fill in the blanks. And so I thank Mark for doing that.
And I will tell you, Mark, I learn every – I've been at this for 46 years. I've never heard of an intentional community. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, one other thing.
Right.
That JPUSA, that's Jesus People USA, that's a Christian or pseudo-Christian cult. And it's destroyed hundreds, possibly thousands of people over the past 35 years, and that's your intentional community. It destroys souls.
Okay, God bless, and thanks very much for calling. And
yep.
Of course, we got real problems in the Christian community. We've been thoroughly infiltrated by the people from the other side who are using the facade of Christianity to push their own agenda. Well, Michael, you go right ahead.
Well, let me quote one more time here from the Paul Rogers article on finding common ground. He says that but only developments that qualify as, quote, smart growth, unquote, in the regional plans, those located near transit or clustered, would be eligible for the $15 billion or so a year in transportation money the state doles out. So what Californians need to understand, and the rest of the country, you know, always follows California, is that sooner and not later, our transportation dollars are going to go for the creation of these mass transit systems, train systems in rural communities like ours, and because all the dollars coming out of the state are going to go to smart growth programs. And, you know, if we ever needed proof that we've been talking about for years in the context of sustainable development and smart growth is happening, you know, you can find it in this one bill coming out of California. You know, Schwarzenegger is big on this stuff. You know, he is a global warming monster. You know, he ignores the facts that are coming out of the Senate's Environmental Committee about the falsehoods of global warming. You know, he knows that it's the way to gain power in the Republican Party.
That's it. What it's all about. It's all about gaining power. Hold on. Our guest has been Michael Shaw. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do have one more call. And is this Todd from New York?
Yes, it is, sir.
Hi, Jeff. What are you, upstate New York, downstate? Whereabouts?
Upstate, near the border of Canada.
You're listening to us on the big station out of Utica or Attica?
Actually on the Internet.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, it's good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
It really isn't really specific, but does the gentleman know anything possibly about it's seemingly a lot of increase in larger cities of the crime aspect and then the response by the local police departments. Do you think that has anything to do with people demanding, or possibly want to demand better protection, and then also, you know, taking away your rights because there's also abuses of power? I don't know if that makes sense, but in the minute I only had to speak, I don't know if you understand, like this, the allowing of crime, criminal elements, lack of enforcement, and then the response by police.
Well, you know, the whole community policing regiment is similar to the revamped fire response in this country. And I believe that in regards to fire response, which I think I understand more fully than I do police response, is that oftentimes I'm beginning to see that fire response to wildland fire issues is very slow indeed. Because the let-it-burn policy, the make-it-burn policy, is furthered with a slow response to the initiation of a fire. You know, the winds come up, the fire starts to go, you don't respond to it, and all of a sudden, you know, it's 1,000 acres before you see a fireman on the scene. We've had fires here in Santa Cruz, and I think there are open questions about the response time of CAL FIRE. Now, I think that it's certainly possible that for purposes of implementing the Wildlands Project, that our fire officials, and I'm not talking about the rank-and-file fireman, he's ready to fight the fire as soon as he's told the fire started, but the system that provides for the dispatch of firemen seems to me to be slow in many cases. And, of course, we've got these environmental policies that create the burn, you know, the burn circumstances for fires because you can't clean the forest floor under environmental rules today. So what we're doing is aggravating the prospects for fire, and the numbers certainly verify that fires are off the charts in terms of the historical fire analysis in this country. Huh. Now, if you're going to ask me, is the same thing happening in our inner cities with policemen, I'd have to tell you, I don't know.
Well, we're going to have to hold that thought. Thanks very much for calling. And well, this is Dr. Stan. Michael, I want you to go ahead and get your telephone number, your website out one more time.
It's freedomadvocates.org. You'll find just a litany of information, you know, crisp writings, good audio, plenty of video. And, you know, if you don't understand the sustainable development dynamic, if you can't understand how it's into your community, by studying Freedom Advocates, you'll begin to, the lights will start turning on, and you'll begin to understand how the smart growth is coming into your community and how the Wildlands Project is right outside your community, and you'll be able to see how your educational system from kindergarten on up, you know, is fitting the definitions of what we talk about as sustainable development. Our phone number is 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232.
God bless you, Michael. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Michael Shaw. Hope you enjoyed the program. And really, of course, if you'd like to know more about sustainable development, why we have a four-tape set and or a video on sustainable development. And then, of course, you certainly would want to get our syllabus. It's one of the finest things that will take you into population control. The genocidal program that is already underway. I mean, why do you think, for instance, that at the beginning of the last century, one person in 33 got cancer? Today, it's one out of every three women and one out of every two men. But, oh, shucks, the people in government can't figure out why that is. Or, of course, we've already lost over 500,000 people, probably close to 600,000 from AIDS here in the United States. But we are still not implementing the standard public health policies that should be used to stop the spread of this terrible, terrible disease. Why is that? Why, it's population control, of course. There is a different agenda. They're using the homosexuals. They're using so many groups in this. The homosexuals have been targeted. Almost half of the people who've died are homosexual. Almost half of them are black. This is targeted specifically for the black and Hispanics, much more so than the white. This is what's known as genetic engineering. They know what they're doing. If you want the justification for that, you can contact us. We'll be glad to give you the information. There is a genocidal program underway. If you'd like, of course, to get into population control, we have a great talk on None Dare Call It Genocide. It's available on DVD. We have a talk on the planned population production, that talk we gave for the Prophecy Club. We have a monograph. You can read it on our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And the monograph is called the Planned Population Control Agenda Monograph. The Population Control Agenda Monograph, you're welcome to pull it down and copy it. Of course, if you buy into the other items or purchase any of the other items, you could ask for a free copy. We'll give it to you. And certainly remember, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Suddenly we have a book. Why do we still have cancer? I guess it's the war on cancer. Suddenly we have a book by Ed Griffin on cancer. Cancer treatments suppressed. Cancer treatment's been suppressed for a long time. And in fact, if you go up on my website and look up the Fitzgerald Report. The Fitzgerald Report was published in the Congressional Record in 1953 or 55. Talking about all the cancer treatments that were being suppressed 55 years ago, somewhere 53, 55 years ago. This is not accidental. They are suppressing treatments for cancer. We have a great four-tape set, one that really I think is the most powerful I've ever heard. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. The New Order of the Barbarians. Aware of course, Dr. Dunnigan, who's a physician who practiced pediatrics in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, talks about hearing a talk given by Dr. Richard Day, who was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, who talked about the fact that there were too many people in the world, that there were treatments for cancer, people had to die of something, they might as well die of cancer, and of course now the treatments were being kept locked up at the basement of the Rockefeller Foundation. And then, of course, how they were going to be creating new diseases to kill off large parts of the population. Again, the tape set is called The New Order of the Barbarians. The New Order of the Barbarians. Get this information. Help us get the truth out and pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment for the next hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Melody Cedarstrom, Discount Gold and Silver, and Melody supports Radio Liberty, and we support her. She thinks she does a great job for our listeners. And hi, Melody. How are you doing tonight?
Good, fine, Dr. Stan, and I hope you're doing well.
Oh, I'm about as well as I can under the circumstances. Well, of course, we're being entertained to death. We had 2 weeks of the Olympics telling us what wonderful a government the Chinese Communist government was. Well, they didn't really say that, but they just showed how well-regimented the people were and how they could get them all to be with a smile on their faces. But they have no freedom over there. Chinese people are wonderful people, but this had nothing to do with the Chinese people. It had to do with popularizing the social experiment in China that was brought about by our government back in 1949, 1950, when the American State Department brought communism to China. Now, of course, we've got the Democratic Convention. Next week, we're going to have the Republican Convention, and we're going to just be entertained to death. But tell us what your take is on what's happening financially, Melody.
I agree. There's certainly a lot of entertainment going on, and of course, they add a little bonus to that. They drop the gasoline prices from $4 to $3.60, $3.50, and that raises consumer confidence significantly over from last month, although it's down considerably from a year ago. And so that's all the people need out there is the distraction and a little bit of a feel good in the gasoline and we're heading into the holiday weekend, so they will be preoccupied for, you know, until the first of next year because they have the rest of the holidays for the year, and then, of course, Christmas. And so we'll just have to wait and see how it really does play out. There's still significant problems that we face in the next couple of months as it continues and goes longer than that, of course, but it's what's happening is very known to only a few, and people do have a harder and harder time getting by. You have more and more people are becoming uninsured. They can't afford to pay for their insurance. More of them are going on to the public assistance. Things just seem to crumble, and it just amazes me how the illusion that you speak about is so strongly entwined and so easily accepted.
So one of the things that's really so interesting is what's happening to our financial institutions. And news broadcast earlier, I heard that our financial institutions have lost 86% of their earnings this last year. In other words, their earnings are down 86%. Well, you know, 86% is getting pretty close to 100%. In other words, they're only making 14% as much this year as they did last year. The whole financial structure of our country is beginning to come down. Now, the last thing they want is for the public to know that. The last thing they want for the public to know is the real rate of inflation, which is about 13.58, according to Bob Chapman, or what the M3 is, which they don't publish anymore, but it's running 15 to 16%. That's the rate at which they're increasing money and credit. And, of course, that it will be reflected in the loss of the value of your savings, your insurance policy, your pensions, your CDs, your annuities. All of these things are going down by this rate, or at least they will be within a few months. We're in real trouble. There's no nation in all recorded history that's got into the mess that we are that has survived as a free nation. Well, Melody, you pick up the story.
You're right. The FDIC is getting ready for more bank failures. Their numbers increased today. They had 90 on their hot list, and I guess they increased that to 117. And of course, those are the ones that they will admit to under their guidelines. So certainly there's predictions, and economists are expecting many more to fail. And it's still surprises me how people can that understand the banking system and realize that the FDIC doesn't have enough to bail out all these banks, and knowing that it's all going to fall back to the taxpayer, they still sit with funds in the bank, and they feel secure that their funds are there. Now, there's a lot of people out there that truly do not understand what's going on, but those that amaze me are the ones that listen to your programs, other programs, and they fail to secure their hard-earned money, their wealth by preserving it. And I continue to get questions about various paper promises to pay paper investments, and they just feel somehow they can escape, and that it won't apply to them, or that they think they're smarter than the system, that they'll be able to avoid the impact. And folks, this is not the time to be experimenting in various investment vehicles when you have the banking system, as we know it, ready to fail. And it's not even our banking system. It's the world banking system. It's a global, it's all part of the agenda. It's all to move us to the one world government, one world currency, and et cetera, that everyone knows about, at least those that listen to these programs. So it's just part of the agenda that they will complete, and they need to have this all fail. They need to have the global failure. And so there's many I hear that they feel that the elitists have been put on a backtrack, that they've been sidetracked in various situations, but I think they're right on, and they're right on their agenda, and I don't think they've been delayed at all.
And I think you're absolutely right. I know I have good friends who would tell me that the Illuminists, the people who run the world, the international financing financier groups, call them a conspiracy, the central bankers, call them what you will, that they are no longer in control. And I don't think that's happening at all. I think that you are absolutely right, Melody. They want eventually a world government. This is what drives them. And you can't have a world government unless you have a world currency. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our Sydney Melody is Cederstrom is our guest from Discount Gold and Silver. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. And Melody was just saying that she does not think that the people who control the central banks, the finances of the world, they all work in concert and secret meetings. If you doubt that, of course, you need to get the book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, Tragedy and Hope, with History of the World at Our Time. The author was Professor Carol Quigley, who taught at Harvard and at Princeton before he went to Georgetown University, where he, of course, schooled and tutored Bill Clinton. But Professor Quigley, in his classic book that was suppressed for many years, and in fact they destroyed the place to the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted, and we have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells that story. But, of course, Professor Quigley on page 324 tells how the central banks of the world have secret meetings and work in a secret fashion to control the governments of the world, and they want to instill or institute a feudal system. A feudal system. And of course, that goes back to feudalism, when you had your feudal lords and their serfs, and they become the feudal lords, we become the serfs. But, of course, the point that Melody had made so well is that they want a world currency. And, of course, the reason they want a world currency is because they want a world government. And you can't have a world government unless you have a world currency, a global currency. And so they're going to destroy our currency. These people know exactly what they're doing, but they cannot let the public, certainly not the American people, know, at least not for the time being. So certainly you must be talking to people all over the country. Melody, what are they telling you? Are the people concerned because of the recent dropout in the price of gold and silver? Or are they panicking, or they realize this is simply a temporary aberration to frighten people out of the investment market?
There hasn't panic. No, there hasn't been much panic. There's been a few customers who panicked, but they were newcomers to the gold market. I don't believe they truly understand the fundamentals and they view their gold investments as trading as they would a stock, and they, you know, feel that once they have a profit, they need to take it and go into something else, or take it and then buy it in a the gold at a lower price. And I have found over the years that when people sell their gold at a where they think is a good price, and they always tell you that I will be coming back into the market, they never do, you know. And so that's why when you purchase your gold and silver, when you look to preserve your wealth, you hold on to it. We are not at the point in time to which you should sell your gold for any type of profit. You buy your gold as the insurance policy. I always tell my clients, profit is secondary. You want to preserve your wealth. That's what gold does. And you buy gold as the currency. And everything else is just a piece of paper. It's a promise. It's not real. And therefore, you're always in hope that someone will promise to pay what's due you. And if we have the collapse here and globally, I find it highly unlikely that people will get 100% of their paper investments paid to them. So you have to be very careful. And what people don't understand is it's okay to pull your funds out and be on hold, to be on the sidelines, to wait and see what happens. You can always go back in. At least you will have something to go back in with. But if you leave everything there and you lose it, you have to start all over again. And with the baby boomer population, many of us, it's a little, you know, too late to get started all over again. If you're younger, you can take greater risks. But most of us at this, you know, when you're, you know, in the baby boomer generation, we don't have that luxury as the young ones do. So you do have to be on the cautious side. And it's, you know, it's okay if you want to gamble, if you have disposable income, and that's income that you can afford to lose. You won't miss it if you lose it. And if you want to gamble in various areas in the investment arena, that's okay. But to preserve your wealth, you shouldn't be gambling with your wealth.
And I really think, of course, there's very little you can get into at the present time where, of course, you can really be secure. At one time, you could pick almost any stock, and the mm-hmm. market is going up. Why, of course, you know, your investment's going to go up. But those days are gone. Yeah. The old idea that you could just take a dart and throw it at a chart of the New York Stock Exchange or the Dow Jones, and you were going to get rich. Well, when the market's going up, fine. But the market is not going up today, and the price-earnings ratio is completely out of kilter. And there's going to have to be a dramatic drop in this value of the stocks, you know, really to be able to get before they become something you want to be investing in. Certainly the financials are doing terrible. Most of the financial stocks, the banks, the other things are losing money, and they're going to lose a lot more money before this is over. The housing stocks, these big corporations that are building houses, I mean, some of them have dropped, you know, 80-90% in value. And some of them are actually in negative value at the present time. Our automotive stocks dropped dramatically. And, I mean, people do not stop and look and see what's really happening. We are in a recession at the present time. I believe we're moving towards an inflationary depression. That's the worst situation in the world. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
I agree. I believe we're in a recession. They never admit to a recession until, you know, the next month they can admit that we're coming out of it, you know. So, you know, they certainly don't warn people. And, again, we're a consumer economy, so you know, they need to keep the people feeling good because that way they continue to consume. And two-thirds of our economy is based on our consumers out there spending. They are basically tapped out. So they need to rah-rah them into continuing to spend to keep the system going. And the systems will be purged. The systems will fail. Yeah, when we were talking about other investments, I agree with you. I can't see any investment out there other than gold and silver at this point in time. But it's amazing how, you know, people see the gold ETFs and they see these where they can have their gold stored offshore in either in Switzerland or Australia or here and there. And it's like, folks, you know, your gold is not any safer in another country than it is right by your side. And a lot of those, you just get certificates. You don't even get your gold, or you get a portion or a percentage. So it's all you're getting is still that piece of paper. It's just a promise to pay. You're not diversifying your gold holdings in any way. And I do believe when the time comes, when you have a system that's failing and you have computers going down and you have a system, there's no way. I mean, your money will be tied up in litigation for years. So it's always best to have your gold and silver by your side. And, you know, you shouldn't allow anyone to talk you out of it, to sell it, to be placed in a different investment vehicle either. If you don't have the additional funds to go somewhere, you shouldn't sell your gold and silver because you're not in the position to do so. And I don't believe anyone can have too much gold. I've heard that before. I have too much. I don't need any more. Okay. That's certainly a decision that a person can make in regards to his own finances. But you really do have to look around and be careful what you get into. And remember, folks, it's just pieces of paper, promises to pay. They're not any better than that dollar that you originally got out of purchasing gold and silver.
Well, I think it's really so interesting. A lot of people are saying, well, it's time to get back in the houses. Look at how much cheaper the houses are. They're down, some are down 15, 20, 25, 30%. Here in the area where I live, the average house in the last year has fallen from $775,000 for the average house in Santa Cruz County to about $600,000 for the average house in Santa Cruz County. That's almost $175,000. Well, of course, the idea of going out and buying houses today, because the price is down, is sort of like trying to catch a falling knife. You know what happens when you try to catch a falling knife or a falling safe? You're going to get into real trouble because, of course, the safe is going to continue to fall and the knife is going to slash you. We have not reached the bottom yet. Do not go out and, at least if you ask me, do not go out and start purchasing. I think things have a lot further to go. And one thing I've learned in the 79 years I've lived, and that is that things always go up a lot further than you anticipate. In other words, when you're into a stock market boom, it doesn't stop when it ought to. Logically, it keeps on going and going and going until finally it breaks, and then, of course, it starts to fall. But whether it would be the housing market or the financial market, when it falls, it's going to fall a lot further than you anticipate. So wait until you're absolutely sure you're at a bottom. Do not, of course, jump in because, of course, you can get crushed by a falling safe. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Melody. And certainly as we watch what's happening, Sydney, in other countries, the whole world is in recession. It's not just here in the United States. It's beginning to impact on China. It's beginning to impact on Malaysia. It's certainly beginning to impact on Vietnam, where the inflation rate is 25%. Go ahead.
Well, you're right. The inflation rate worldwide is increasing. The Europeans are having difficult times. They're in recession. And the only reason I believe our dollar is showing any type of strength is because the other currencies are adjusting to their conditions. But eventually they'll realize that their currencies, you know, are still better than ours. We're still in the worst position of the world governments about to fail. We will fall the hardest.
Well, I really fear that you're right there. And, of course, the thing is that we have the greatest debt of any nation in the world. Our national debt is approaching $9.7 trillion. But that's only the part that they tell you about. Then, of course, there is all the money that we promised to pay out for Medicare, drug bill, and for Medicare and for Social Security. And if we were actually calculating our deficits accurately, our debt would be up somewhere to $60 or $70 trillion, but they can't let the American people know that, can they?
No, they can't.
All right, go right ahead, Melody.
No, they can't. When you look at that debt, and if you showed what each American is responsible for, there's no way that debt will ever be paid. And so, you know, folks, if that debt can't be paid, that means all your investments will be decreased in the same amount as that debt. And it's you know, people who've retired who need a certain amount of income that they've enjoyed having, that will all be decreased. And I believe people just have a difficult time in understanding. They think once they have something that it can't be decreased, and that's just, I don't believe that's true. It can be decreased. It will be decreased along with the rest of all the paper promises here in this country.
And I really think, of course, people have to understand that certainly when governments get very, very far behind and they have tremendous debts, they never pay off those debts. I mean, they can't pay them off. There's not enough money. There's not enough money in the world to pay off all the debts the United States has. And if we held our own government, the federal government, to the same standards that they hold private corporations, they would have to declare bankruptcy. So the only way really out of the mess that they're in today is to inflate away the value of our currency so that they can pay off, you know, their $10 trillion debt with, you know, a couple of bank notes. And, you know, but of course it means by so doing, by having rampant inflation, you destroy the value of the currency of the people. But you can always blame it on somebody else. You can blame it on the guys who used to be here, but they're retired now, living comfortably, probably in another country for fear that people are, that they've cheated out of their life savings. You're going to come after them. And so the politicians, knowing full well, of course, there's no solution to the present problem other than the destruction of our currency, are simply allowing this thing to happen. And when you look and see what's happening, and of course they've simply only recently increased the federal debt to about $10 trillion, but that's not the real debt at all. The real debt is probably 5 to 6 times that, and probably even more. And then you've got your state debt, you've got your county debt, you've got your city debt. You've got all your districts, like your fire district and your hospital district, and they all have these massive debts. And, of course, the people who are holding the bonds on those are eventually going to, certainly, I believe, lose it. Because, of course, as Ludwig von Mises, who was the father of Austrian economics, once said, bonds are certificates of guaranteed confiscation. Bonds are certificates of guaranteed confiscation. Why? Because eventually they simply destroy the debt through inflation. Have you heard that remark, Melody, in the past?
No, I haven't. I understand that inflation is a basically a confiscation of wealth. It is a tax, and it is created by governments. And they lots of people can blame it on various items. They can blame it on the oil companies. They can blame, you know, for the gasoline prices rising. They can blame it on the farmers, but it all comes back to the currency and to the fiat currency, and as inflation definitely will confiscate wealth. And I could never understand. I mean, I understand the concept of bonds and so forth, and yes, there was a point in time when bonds, I guess, were needed, but I never understood why anybody would want bonds.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. My telephone number is 1-800-511-8824-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Now, when you have a stable currency, bonds are an excellent investment. They give you usually a guaranteed income of 3 or 4% or 5%, depending upon the interest rate on those bonds. But when you have an unstable currency, when you have a currency with nothing behind it, when you have a fiat money currency, if you invest in bonds, eventually you're going to lose. Because they're guaranteed, as Ludwig von Mises of the Austrian School of Economics had said, bonds are certificates of guaranteed confiscation. And right now, with the massive debts we have and no way to pay them off, absolutely no way that they can ever pay off the debts, they're simply going to have inflation, which will, of course, destroy the value of those bonds and, of course, impoverish the people who own them. And so many of the older people are invested in bonds. So many of the pension funds are invested in bonds. So many people who do not understand what happens when you have a fiat money system are looking and thinking as they did 25 or 30 years ago when we had a stable currency. They do not understand the history of countries that moved into a fiat money system. And because of that, I would say that probably only a very, very small percentage, only maybe 3 or 4% of the American people are really investing in gold and silver or in stable commodities, you know, as a vehicle of protecting themselves from inflation. I fear that the remainder are going to be impoverished when this whole thing collapses, and it is not that far ahead. What are your thoughts, Melody?
I agree. I don't think we're too far away. However, it does amaze me how they can drag this out to the degree that they do. But I think we're nearing the point where they will be unable to sustain these levels. And then again, is it a matter of whether they can sustain it or if they're just ready to let it fall? Because that's what we always have to remember. This is exactly where they want everybody. They want everybody's wealth. They don't want them to have anything. People can't be controlled if they're independent. And they need to steal everybody's wealth, not only here, but around the world. And they're on their way of doing that. So, but I think they're close. And I think the system is ready to fail. I think we're going to see more bank failures in the very near future. And folks, they always do it on a Friday evening. They don't do it Wednesday or Monday. They do it after 5 o'clock, and hopefully they open on Monday. And we'll see banks that probably won't open on Monday. They'll be closed longer than just the weekend. And they never really talk about the savings and loans. They don't talk a lot about these credit unions who also have problems. I don't believe they're included in the FDIC. And you don't hear about how many of those have failed or closed in the past year or so.
And I think it's really so interesting, as Melody points out, the banks usually fail Friday evening after, of course, after the banks have closed, and so you don't really hear about it. Maybe until a week or so later, you don't really understand that so many of our banks are insolvent. And actually, many of our major banks are insolvent, but they're only being kept up by the FDIC and by the Fed. What most people don't understand is the implications of this latest housing bill. Because the latest housing bill actually has authorized the Federal Reserve System to actually go ahead and buy up any debt that the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac can't pay. And they say, oh, this might be even as much as $25 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac hold assets of up to $5 trillion, that's trillion dollars. And of course, there is a very good chance that $1.5 to $2 trillion, or maybe even more of that, is going to go under in this collapse, which means that the Federal Reserve Board, which ultimately, of course, will mean the taxpayers, are going to have to come up with that money. We already have a $9.5 trillion debt, moving towards $10 trillion, and then they're going to add another couple of $1 trillion on top of that. They have taken on the responsibility for that $5 trillion debt, and only maybe half of it will go down, or maybe it'll all go down. Who knows? But we're in the most uncertain times in the financial history of our nation. The enemy is not over in Pakistan. The enemy is certainly in Washington, D.C. and in New York City, and these people do not wear turbans. They wear suits and ties, and then, of course, the people who control our privately owned central bank, which we call the Federal Reserve, but is a privately owned central bank created by bankers, for bankers, who enrich bankers, and ultimately to destroy our nation. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here in the Central Coast of California. Give us a call if you have a question for Melody, a question, comment. We're in very, very dangerous times. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and of course we're talking about the affairs of state. And of course, every week, it gets worse and worse. Some of the people, the economists, are suggesting, well, maybe we're going into a recession. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been in a recession for some time, and we're going into a depression. The only question is it going to be a deflationary depression, or is it going to be an inflationary depression, ultimately followed by a deflationary depression? What are your thoughts, Melody, on that? Do you have any specific thoughts?
Well, I believe we can experience both at the same time. They're different, but I believe we're going to be, when you have the amount of money that is being fed to these industries, to the financial system, I believe it will be extremely highly inflationary. And after that, we will probably go into a deflationary period where prices will come down, and we will even see a correction in gold and silver. And but gold wouldn't be hit to the same degree as everything else. So whether it be inflationary or deflationary, gold will prevail as preserving someone's wealth. But I think we will go into extreme inflationary periods. You just can't continue to funnel the funds into the system as they have. And I guess they've also even loaned, I guess there was a GM that even got a, I don't know if they requested or if they were able to actually get the, I read two different articles where they were able for a $50 billion loan for development of electric cars and lower gasoline consumption vehicles. And so, I mean, it's just like if anybody wants it, they can just go to the window and get it. I'll guarantee you, if there's something wrong with the gold market, I don't think they'd lend me anything, Dr. Stan. So
I think that people have to understand that, yes, Melody is absolutely right. The big three automotive manufacturers are asking the federal government to come up with a $50 billion, that's boy, billion dollars, so that they can begin to develop new types of cars. Really, it's a bailout they're asking for, with the idea that, oh, we're going to pay this back later. Where is the government going to come up with $50 billion? The government doesn't have any money. It's having to borrow $2.5 billion every day to pay its bills. And of course, if anybody thinks that the government has all this money, the only thing they can do is create it out of nothing. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question or comment. But before we go on, Melody, I'd like you to tell our listeners, you know, how they can get in touch with you, your telephone number, your website, and here's what they're going to get when they get in contact with you.
Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And our website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. We have a wonderful website. There's a radio archive, radio programs are archived. There's also a reading material that you can sign up for. So you can visit the website. And also, if you have an email question regarding your gold and silver coins or investments, you can also direct those to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And we do things a little bit different than anybody else. We put together, and our recommendations are based on what's suitable for each client. Sure, there's a certain amount of coins available, but I believe everyone is different. Everybody has an investment objective, and it's also my job to help the clients understand what coins they're getting and why they're getting them and what to expect, not only when they buy, but also when they get ready to sell their coins, how they will perform and what to look for. So we do things a little bit different. We recommend that you have a minimum. I mean, for this past half hour, we've been talking about how the conditions of the world financial system is in jeopardy and your funds are in jeopardy. So my recommendation of 30 to 50% minimum of your assets should be in gold and silver. Personally, I think it should be higher, but 30 to 50% is a starting point. And of course, of that, 80% should be gold and 20% should be silver. And again, we adjust those numbers based on the suitability of your investment objectives, what your budget is. We don't carry any minimums. I believe, we've never turned anybody away. And so we work with everyone. And so just give us a call and we'll be more than happy to help you put together a portfolio. If you've purchased coins in the past, we'd be more than happy to look at what you have in your portfolio. I'm not a believer in trading out your coins, you know, unless it's very beneficial for you. But sometimes portfolios can be tweaked a little bit because I know what my competitors put in portfolios, and I think we do a better job. So perhaps we could rearrange things in your portfolio, and we'd be more than happy to take a look at it.
Well, you know, sometimes people will try to get coin dealers try to get people to buy gold medallions, things of that sort. What are your thoughts on that, or commemorative coins?
I'm not fond of commemorative coins. I believe there are better buys. I mean, if you look at if you compare prices with other coins like the U.S. Gold Eagle and the same fractional piece, usually you'll get more gold with a gold eagle than you will with a commemorative. So I'm a firm believer of getting as much gold as possible for your dollar. That doesn't mean you can't diversify going into various coins, but what happens so often is people don't compare the apples to apples. They compare one coin to a different coin that really doesn't have any relation. It's very difficult to compare, and people end up comparing apples to oranges. So there's a lot of misrepresentation. Whether it's intent or not, I don't know, and it doesn't, the people should know what they're buying. I can't tell you how many times people call me and we go over their portfolio and they don't even know what they have or what they've bought. So to me, that it just amazes me that they spend all this money and they don't know what their portfolio is. So if you have any questions, we'd be more than happy to help you.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have any question. But we're really in very, very uncertain times. We've been watching this for, I guess I've been watching it for 46 years. And, you know, Chris, I was amazed that they were able to remedy the situation back in 1979 when we went into that inflationary spiral. But at that point, Paul Volcker actually intervened, raised the interest rates up to 21%, and saved the dollar. Well, of course, today we're not doing that. What are we doing? There's a crisis, and what they've done is lowered the interest rates. Instead of raising the interest rates to try to preserve the dollar, they've lowered the interest rate to try to preserve Morgan Stanley and J.P. Morgan Chase and Lehman Brothers and Goldman Sachs and all the other major banking institutions that are part of the Central Reserve fraternity. But, of course, in the process, destroying the dollar. And, of course, the savings of the entire population. What they should be doing and what the purpose of the Federal Reserve System, the central bank, was to preserve the stability of our dollar. Instead of that, they're lying to us about inflation. Inflation is probably running well over 13% and will probably go up to 15 or 16% here in the next year or so. And progressively eroding the value of our currency. Inflation is the cruelest tax of all. And until people understand that we are in an inflationary spiral, and of course they say, oh, look at those prices going up, the prices are only reflecting the massive increase in the amount of money in circulation. Of course, what's really the most thing that will really break the back of our nation is when the countries throughout the world that are holding the dollar as a reserve for the currency to back up their currencies, when they see it continue to to lose value, and they begin to dump it or begin to just bring it back in here to buy things, and suddenly they flood our nation with currency. At that point, the whole system collapses. There's no way it can survive. Now, traditionally, of course, we could certainly have a deflation, an ordinary deflation, and the value of cash would go up. But when you have all of this cash out there, massive amounts of cash, massive amounts of money, massive amounts of credit, and this, of course, is what drives up the costs. And, of course, we are never going to see a typical depression, in my estimation, where cash becomes king, because when you have this amount of currency in the world and it all comes tumbling back here or funneling back in here, I fear that, of course, it's going to destroy the value of our currency. And I really think, as Melody said earlier, that's what they want. They want to destroy the value of our currency and bring about a global currency so we can have a one-world government, a one-world currency, a one-world religion, and, of course, an enslaved mankind. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. I should say 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Melody, certainly, you're talking to people across the country. What are they telling you? I mean, are a lot of people out there having a hard time?
Yes, they are. And I know several and many of my customers, new customers that are just beginning to realize what's happening. They're in debt, and they're trying to get out of debt, and they're trying to position themselves so that perhaps they won't be as hard hit as so many. And it is very difficult to get out of debt once you're there. I've noticed a lot on your financial mainstream media programs that more and more programs are popping up trying to help people get out of debt. And sometimes I don't agree with their advice that they give, but they've made it so very difficult, and we can't forget that they knew all this was coming. That's why they changed all the bankruptcy laws several years ago, because they knew where we were headed. And they do all these change of laws and legislation just to ensure that they're protected, so they get the right outcome that they want. The laws certainly are not there to protect you. They're only made to protect them, just as we see with the windows being opened at the, at the Federal Reserve and all the liquidity that is available. It's for them. It isn't for anybody else. They just write these token home legislation to make people think that they're actually being helped when truly they're not. And it truly is a really sad situation. And but people are being conditioned each time. They condition people to a certain point, and then they change, and people get to the acceptance level, and they go on to the next thing. And we have the central banks. You mentioned that cash was king. I think gold will be king, and through this recession, depression, and so it will be very important. Gold is the one item that is recognized around the world. And it will be a one-world currency. I mean, they have to. With this interwoven global economy and trading, they have to have a currency that's defined and regulated. And the only one that will be accepted would be gold. Whether it's traded within a basket of currencies to stabilize, but all these currencies will have to be, they're all fiat. They have exactly what they want. So even the central banks, we've seen the big hit on gold, and we thought perhaps, there's some central banks that are selling, but this year, gold sales by the central banks have been the lowest since 1999, when the pact was signed that they were allowed to sell 500 tons each year. And so far, by the European Central Banks, this year about, I think about 320 tons of gold have been sold. And what surprises me is the Swiss Central Bank is the biggest seller this year. And people who think that they can put their funds in various countries, and Switzerland is not the place it used to be. I mean, all these governments are interconnected. They meet. They're all in it together. So, you know, your funds and your items are not safer anywhere else that many people are led to believe in these various other programs. And I go back, of course, to gold.
And I think that you have to understand that gold has been the medium of exchange for four or five thousand years. It's always eventually come forward, and whether they've tried time and time again to get around this, and by making sending coins out of base metal, they've tried this one means or another. And then when they got to the point where they could print paper money, that was a wonderful thing. And suddenly they did this, of course, in the in ancient Venice, they did this in ancient Florence in the 1600s, and they did it certainly in France in the early 1700s and the late 1700s. There's nothing new under the sun. But always, in every instance in the past, why eventually, of course, they've returned to gold as the medium of exchange. Now, we're being told, of course, that gold is a relic of the past. But if you read what the elite are saying, and there's a wonderful article that appeared last year in Foreign Affairs magazine, which is what the elitists read. That's not for you common people out there, it's for the elitists. But they were talking about the necessity of establishing a global currency that would be privately issued, not issued by government, not issued by the United Nations, would be privately issued and backed by gold. Because they realize, of course, you cannot have a currency if it doesn't have a gold backing. Otherwise, why, of course, it'll simply be expanded and expanded. It becomes worthless. And there's nothing more worthless than paper, a paper currency. They have always failed. They're failing today. The whole world monetary system is beginning to collapse. And tragically, the average individual has no idea what's happening. And the average individual is going to end up being totally impoverished and wiped out before this thing is over. Those people who are in debt are already in trouble. Those people who are not in debt, certainly if they have their money in the bank and insurance policies and annuities, and it doesn't matter, in CDs and bonds, they're all certificates of guaranteed confiscation. Our number, 1-888-24-Liberty, 1-888-24-Liberty, or 464-8295. If you have a question for Melody, of course, we're talking about what's going on in the world today financially. Most people are not making the preparations they should. Melody, what percentage should they have invested in gold? What percentage should they have invested in silver? What sort of coins or mediums should they be in? Bars? Should they be in rounds? Should they be in collector's items? How should people be investing their money?
I believe a breakdown of 80% gold and 20% silver, and of course that could be adjusted, but as a rule of thumb, 80% gold, 20% silver. We're having a currency problem. So you want the metal of that is a currency, and that is gold. And I hear all the great percentage reports that silver will, you know, outdo gold, and silver is short and in short supply, and et cetera, et cetera. That's fine, but you still need to preserve your wealth, and gold will do that more so than silver. And again, it comes back to the suitability of each client. But 80% gold, 20% silver. And I really do break it down as far as the gold product. I believe you need to purchase items that are accepted and recognizable. So I believe we're here in the U.S., you should purchase U.S. coins. If you're looking to purchase bullion coins, I believe you should stay with the 1-ounce gold eagles or the fractional pieces. The fractional pieces are great for bartering type situations, along with the 1-ounce gold buffalo. And it doesn't hurt to go into your $20 gold pieces. They have held up extremely well through this correction in the spot price of gold down to 800. And when we broke 800, they held up extremely well. They didn't pull back as much as what the spot price of gold did. And again, these coins have been confused with rare coins. I'm not an advocate of rare coins, not in these markets, unless you are a suitable person to own rare coins. But the semi-numismatic coins, you go into the lower-end mint state coins, and they have done extremely well. So You can offset, you can diversify, and usually the 80% gold, I will do like 30% in the bullion and then the balance of the $20 gold pieces. The silver, stay with 90% silver. You get more silver for your money. Silver Eagles right now, we've had that huge drop in the silver prices, and it's like they came off the shelf the next day. I guess people didn't want to sell them at $13.
Well, let's go to Tony. He's calling from SoCal. Tony, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, just a fast one. As far as basically the same question I asked Mr. Chapman last night, with all the apparent shortages of gold and silver products, like even the Hans Toolveen is completely out of silver, according to his website today. How is it that this can happen when the prices are have dropped from their highs? How can a product be scarce and the prices drop at the same time?
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest
is
Melody Siderstrom, and we'll get Melody to try to answer that during the break here. Hang on, Tony. We'll be right back. So, Melody, how can, of course, you have shortages and the price falling? That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. You have to look at to why there are shortages. There's been articles for many, many years talking about the silver shortage period through various times throughout the past year and even before this year into Y2K. There's been shortages of product due to demand. That doesn't mean that there's been a shortage of silver, just the product. Both gold and silver markets are very thin. You get the general populace coming in the market, and it can take the product off the shelf very quickly. The Silver Eagles are available. You can buy them today. However, the premiums on them are so great. I mean, I'd have to charge $3-4 over spot, and I won't do that because I don't believe we're at that point in time where that premium has to be paid. So I tell my customers to wait to buy Silver Eagles. So eventually I believe that premium will come down to a more reasonable area and to where they're more affordable, same way with the 1 ounce gold Eagles. The reason there was a shortage and they were suspended was because a primary dealer went in there and they bought 26,000 coins right off the shelf. That was all they had in inventory. The same thing as going into the grocery store and buying a loaf of bread. If someone comes in and buys it all, they have to replenish that inventory. I saw an article yesterday that the U.S. Treasury, the Mint, is will begin to release 1 ounce gold Eagles again. But what did that happen by taking those 26,000 coins right off the shelf? It increased the premiums on them. So I don't know exactly why there has been these shortages. I do know where they get the planchets, the discs that they make the coins. Their manufacturer was in Ohio, and when they had the major floods earlier this summer and late spring, the plant was flooded. So they weren't able to supply the treasury with the needed amount that they had ordered. So that put a little bit of pressure on the available product to be released. So you have to look at the reasons why the product isn't there, and now we're having a product shortage, not so much a silver shortage. You know, that's the way I view it, and that's been my experience.
All right. Well, in other words, if it isn't available, you would think the price would go up, but as you think the price is being kept artificially down?
Well, I think there's a difference between the product availability and the price of silver. There's
right.
Silver there. I mean, the COMEX has, you know, millions ounces of silver.
Okay,
so the silver's there. It's these minted products, you know, so when you have the...
Hold that thought, Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Melody Siderstrom. Melody, we're out of time. Let's get your telephone number webpage out one more time.
800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Okay, God bless. We'll talk to you later, Melody. Thanks
Thank
so much.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our program, Melody. And, of course, if you really would like to understand what's going on, let me suggest my talk on the financial tsunami. I've given it a couple of years ago, but it's as true today as it was when we gave it. There's a syllabus that goes with that, and which you can get, which you should get, that's the financial tsunami. We have a pamphlet called The History of Money, another called The Financial Meltdown. They're small, maybe 50 pages each, but it'll give you the essential information that you need to know to be able to deal with the issues that we face today. Then, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island by Ed Griffin. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Anthony Sutton, a book written before he died. But the Federal Reserve is a conspiracy, and it was created as a conspiracy. It is working today as a conspiracy. It is purpose is to enrich the bankers and, of course, to impoverish the people, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. And right now they're doing everything they can to keep the financial institutions afloat, as they're destroying the value of the life savings of the American people through an inflationary process they were supposed to prevent, but of course that was never why they were really prevented. They were created to enrich the bankers and impoverish the people, and they're doing a good job of it. If you'd like to get the items we mentioned, certainly my talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus, the pamphlets on the financial meltdown and on the history of money, the books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and the last one is called Fiat Money Inflation in France, story of what happened in France after the French Revolution in 1789, and of course it's like deja vu all over again. It's exactly what's happening today. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and we hope that you'll want to avail yourself of that and so much of the other information we have at Radio Liberty. We want to remind you, of course, that we are holding our yearly conference. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the 26th of October. It's going to be an all-day conference. We're going to be serving lunch, bringing in outside speakers, including Patrick Wood, who's going to be from the August Review, is going to be talking about finance. So basically our number, if you'd like to come, because we have to have reservations, we're serving lunch, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Then I want to mention, of course, next Monday we're going to be starting our new station up there in Spokane. We'll be on every afternoon. It's a station we haven't been on before. We'll reach that whole highly dense, highly populated area. An excellent time to educate additional people. We could certainly use your help if you're in a position to help us as far as the new station in Spokane. If you would like to help, our number 1-800-544-8927. Just please let us know if this is to help us with the station in Spokane, Washington. And little bit by little bit, with your help, we're going to expand our audience across America. We've already have well over 60 audiences every single week. That's 60 different outlets, either shortwave. We have actually three shortwave frequencies. We have several three internet frequencies. We have stations all across America which do carry our programs. And we just need to reach as many people as we can in the time that God has allotted to us, because we truly are involved in a spiritual battle being played out in a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com. You can go there and listen to us 9 hours a day, or get us on satellite or shortwave, and pray for America. Please pray for Radio Liberty.